I'm Austin.
I'm Bridget.
And I'm Lauren. And this is Tipsy Ghouls, a podcast that searches your neck of the woods for the stories that keep you up at night about true crime, conspiracies, and you guessed it, ghosts.
So without further ado, let's get started. So I, the other day, cut up the rest of my pineapple, and I've been soaking it in pineapple-flavored Malibu. Ooh. So then today, I'm eating the pineapple, but I also put that double pineapple-flavored Malibu into a White Claw that is now in my pineapple cup. So Lauren's worst nightmare.
Yeah, literally everything that I hate is in one...
Is this going to be White Claw night? Because I'm drinking watermelon White Claw from the new variety pack.
I'm drinking Chardonnay White Claw.
Chardonnay flavored. Ew.
Lauren's just butter flavored White Claw. Wine. It has such a this buttery one actually taste.
This one actually tastes more like a Pinot Grigio, so that's why I'm actually enjoying it.
That's good.
Oh, so. Pinot Grigio, girls.
Yeah, so if anyone hears me choking on something, it's rum-soaked pineapple.
Not a dick.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Very low. If anybody hears choking on something.
Unfortunately.
It's not a dick.
All right.
All right, who has some fun facts?
Oh, shit. I don't have any.
What are we, Northern California?
We are covering Northern California today.
Yes. Yeah,
so
yeah,
we're splitting up California into three parts.
So it's a three-part series.
So we're going to do, three-part series on Northern California, then we're going to do Southern California, and then we're going to do specifically
Hollywood.
Yes.
It's going to be spoopy.
Okay, I have 21 weird facts about Northern California that you probably didn't know. All right,
hit me.
California was originally called the Grizzly Bear State. Okay.
Interesting.
Okay, I could see that. Mm-hmm.
They got it on their flag.
Monarch, which is the name of the grizzly bear in the state flag, was a real bear. That's pretty cool.
Oh. Hmm. Was?
Yeah, apparently.
I mean, I would assume was is the correct verbiage or tense.
Oh, yeah, I guess that flag is probably kind of old.
It's old.
California is home to the oldest tree on Earth. That's about 5,000 years old. It lives in the White Mountains.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. It says a picture of it.
Wait, I want to see.
It's, we'll put it on the Instagram. I'll save it. And it's also home to the tallest tree on Earth, which is named Hyperion, a coastal redwood tree in Redwood National Park, which is foreshadowing.
No, it's not.
Oh, isn't that what you're doing?
Foreshadowing.
It was what I was going to do, but I couldn't find anything. Sad. But another fun fact about Northern California and the Redwood National Forest and the little bit of research I got to do on it, they have trees in Redwood National Forest that are called ghost trees or they're albino trees. And there's only 8 of them in the entire 200,000 acres of the forest.
Wow. That's so
really
cool.
Hard to
That's
find.
So cool.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, you said when you were searching for ghost stories from Redwood, that kept coming up.
Yeah, I would type in ghosts are haunted with the Redwood National Forest, and those were the only things that would come up, so it's leading me to believe that there is a cover-up going on here.
Like a bunch of people wrote articles that were like, think it's haunted? Well, it's haunted by these ghost trees, and then that's all that you can find.
Just ghost trees, not ghosts. Not ghosts at all. It's not haunted, just ghost trees.
That's the same thing when I was looking up HARP. I would try to look up HARP conspiracy theories, and there'd be like, CNN would be like, all these crazy conspiracy theories about HARP, here's what's actually happening. It's like those would take the place of any actual articles. But yeah, that's all the.
What was the other? Oh, I have one more. In Alcatraz, when the big like escape happened with Al Capone, I believe, or no, there was a big escape that happened Originally, it was supposed to be four people that escaped, but one of the convicts accidentally sealed up the hole that he had dug with cement, and it had dried and created, like, just fixed the wall, basically. Oh my God. So three of them got to escape, and the one guy was stuck because he basically just fixed the wall in his cell.
What was he supposed to, what was his plan?
They created some sort of bond or, like, something that they thought wouldn't hold to just make it look like the wall was still there.
Mm.
And they were going to, like, knock it out when they were going to break out. But the guy accidentally created cement. So he just cemented the wall back.
I'd be so pissed after digging all that.
You know what? They're criminals, though.
You're like, damn it!
Yeah, that's true. If they were smart, they wouldn't be in prison in the first place, I guess.
Exactly. That's funny that they actually made cement, though. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking to Lauren earlier about hers being very sad. And
yeah, mine's really depressing.
I'll go. Yeah, in Arkansas, we ended with a depressing one. And we were like, well, okay. Now I'm sad. So Lauren's going to go first.
Right. Mine's spooky.
Okay, I'll go first. So. Okay. I will warn you, this is very, very sad. When I was researching it, I actually literally cried. Today I'm going to tell you about the murder of Trevor Holminski. My sources are Crime Watch Daily, True Crime Daily on YouTube, a Times Herald article by Nate Gartrell, and an SF News article by Jay Barman. Deep breath so I don't cry again. Here we go. Trevor Holminski was, by all accounts, a great kid who loved the outdoors. During his teenage years, Trevor's relationship with his parents had actually deteriorated to the point where they had a physical altercation and the police were called. What followed was outlined in his documentary-style film called A Blue Crow, and it can be found on YouTube. But he outlines his mandated therapy wilderness survival course, and he had to actually spend 98 days in Utah, and it completely changed his life. So he was just out in the wilderness with a bunch of other troubled teens, and according to his documentary, he had to do a weekly therapy, and it was basically just how to survive on your own. And as they went through the program and the course, if you passed, you got to go home. And so his ultimately took 98 days to get done so he could go home. He was actually awarded the name Blue Crow. And the color blue was for kindness, friendliness, openness. And he got the animal the crow because it's a very intelligent bird who is an amazing communicator. So that just kind of showed what the counselors and therapists and other people in the program thought about him, if that's anything about what he was like. And he actually did an interview with his parents for the film, and they had absolutely nothing but adoration and admiration for him. And they were so proud of everything that he had overcome to be where he was when he got out of the program. And like I said earlier, I legitimately cried while I was watching this just to see how great of a kid he actually was. And I actually really do admire him for everything he had overcome and the future he set for himself, because he, you really just need to watch it. It's just, especially considering what happened, which I'm going to get into, obviously. It's just really, really sad. It really just kind of hit me right here.
Yeah, I'll have to watch it.
Right in the feels. And it's only like 12 minutes long, so it's really not long at all. And according to his parents, Frank and Allison, Trevor had social media accounts but rarely ever used them. He absolutely hated how people were so glued to their phones. And he just loved getting away from everything, going outside. He was a talented musician who excelled at writing and producing music. So he attended the Expression College for Digital Arts, where he met Sheldon Stewart, and they later became best friends, who also apparently enjoyed tripping on acid together, which is what this article that I found said. So, yeah, that was apparently their trait of their friendship, but 18 months later, everything would change. Trevor decided to join the Marines and ultimately wanted to be Special Forces. And once he was accepted to become a Marine, Trevor decided he wanted one last hurrah before he left. and decided to go on one last camping trip with his best friend Sheldon. On August 21st, 2015, Trevor and Sheldon embarked on their camping trip, one they had taken many times before, not to this specific place, but they had gone camping a lot of, like, so much together, to Bucks Lake in Plumas County. It's in the middle of Plumas National Forest. It's a little bit more than a three-hour drive for the boys from where they lived in Emeryville, California. And a few hours after leaving, Allison, Trevor's mother, had an absolute pit in her stomach, and she had this overwhelming feeling of dread. So she absolutely had that mother's intuition that something was going to go horribly wrong. In the early morning hours of August 22nd, 2015, firefighters responded to a bushfire in Plumas National Forest. It was there they found Sheldon barely alive, bleeding profusely from multiple stab wounds in his neck, and he was unconscious. He was rushed to the hospital where he was treated for his wounds. As the firefighters fought back the blaze, it was there they made a gruesome discovery. A body had been burned beyond recognition in the campsite fire pit. And according to detectives, there was absolutely no way a quick brush fire could have done that much damage. Then they came to the conclusion the fire had would have had to been stoked for hours for it to do this much damage to a body. So they originally assumed the body was that of Trevor Holminski, and they thought that there was a killer on the loose, one that attacked two men brutally for seemingly no reason. So they had to act quickly to get to the bottom of what happened to Trevor and Sheldon. Back at the hospital, police questioned Sheldon about what happened, and it was then that Sheldon told something that absolutely shocked them. Sheldon told police that it was Trevor who had attacked him. After ingesting about 20 hits of LSD and smoking pot, Trevor was actually hitting on Sheldon. So it turns out, according to Sheldon, that Trevor was bisexual, but he had never hit on Sheldon or made it seem like he had feelings for him before this instance. So Sheldon turned down Trevor's advances and just went to bed. And Sheldon woke up in the middle of the night with Trevor actually attempting to rape him. And it was then that Trevor became so hysterical and angry that he started to stab Sheldon repeatedly in the neck. Oh my God. Then when Sheldon fought back, Trevor ran off into the woods and hadn't been seen since. Yeah. So that's what Sheldon said to the police when he was in the hospital. And so obviously these detectives began to panic. They were thinking Trevor, an obviously homicidal maniac, was out there somewhere, possibly killing more people. And he had a giant national forest to hide out in. So then the autopsy report came back from the burned body at the campsite. It was Trevor. Man. Everything Sheldon said came back into question, and he went from a nice, soft-spoken, articulated young man with nothing to hide to the number one suspect.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it's a crazy story.
Yeah, that's it.
The officers began looking at Sheldon's wounds on his neck, and they started to ask questions about it. The stab wounds on his neck were superficial, pretty uniform, and they were all in the same area. So this is the exact opposite of what would be expected from a struggle. So if Trevor was on top of Sheldon stabbing him and Sheldon was fighting back, you would think that there would be more like staggered. It would be more staggered, and someone probably have hit his ear or like his shoulder. It wouldn't all be in the same area. Mm-hmm. And there were also weird slash marks on Sheldon's wrists that seemed really out of place. So the police questioned Sheldon again, and he actually admitted the slash marks on his wrists were self-inflicted because he, quote, wanted to die out there, unquote, after being almost killed and abandoned by his best friend. And he was just left there to die. But police were thinking that he was deciding if he wanted to try to get away with murder and live or commit suicide after realizing what he had done. Mm-hmm. And Sheldon still denied killing Trevor and burning the body. And then the police decided to turn up the heat. They questioned him again, presented him with the evidence. And this evidence that they had was they had the knife that Sheldon had used. And away, a little bit away from the campsite, they actually found a hole that was dug and all of Trevor's belongings were put in the hole.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's a little bit suspicious.
Yeah.
So they presented him with that evidence, and it was then when Sheldon admitted that he had killed Trevor, but he said it was in self-defense.
Hmm.
He still maintained that Trevor attacked him, and after Sheldon had stabbed Trevor, he was still alive, and Trevor was begging him to take, begging Sheldon to take him out of his misery, so he did. The police did not believe that Sheldon had acted in self-defense due to the stab wounds in Trevor's chest and back. I guess, according to that, there was literally no way that Trevor could have fought back, or was there signs of a struggle?
Yeah.
Because I think you would be able to tell that with knife wounds, but I'm not sure. I'm not a scientist. So when Sheldon recovered in the hospital, they immediately booked him into jail and charged him with the murder of Trevor. In August of 2017, after less than a day of deliberation and a weeks-long trial, Sheldon was convicted of first-degree murder with a knife and arson in a protected forest and was sentenced to 26 years plus a life sentence.
Wow.
Even though Sheldon was in prison for life, there is not much closer for Trevor's family, who will have to live without him for the rest of their lives. To honor his life, they actually spread a little bit of his ashes everywhere they travel. So they scattered him in a bunch of different places when they were on vacation, but they also scattered his remains at the place where his sister got married.
That's so cute.
So sad. And then, luckily, in September 4th of 2019, an appeals court upheld Sheldon's conviction, and he is still in jail. So what actually happened that night is still up in the air. I guess we will probably never know.
Wow, that's crazy.
But, yeah, that is the drug-fueled camping nightmare in Northern California.
God.
The murder of Trevor Holminski.
That's so upsetting.
Yeah.
I know, isn't that so sad? Like, supposedly your best friend was the one to... And it's so, like, heinous, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, if it...
So, just being able to burn your friend's body like that. Like, the police said that he would have had to have stoked the fire for hours.
That's terrible.
Like, if the murder was... Even if it wasn't premeditated, which I don't think it was. I think it was really like a drug-induced murder. He would still probably be coming off the drugs by the time that the firefighter...
Yeah.
Or like the police and firefighters were called for this fire.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy is like if you were that... If you were tripping that hard and did it, like to be just okay with it and trying to hide it for the rest of the time... Like, even if somehow
right.
I murdered someone while tripping, I don't know what that feels like, but, like, if
I would immediately just call the cops.
Yeah, I'd be like, what did I just
do? Like, I wouldn't try to hide it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm going to try to hide this murder that I just did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I would be...
Like, not be able to live with myself.
Right.
Especially if it was,
so,
like, to one of you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you guys better never murder me on a camping trip.
Yeah.
Like, we're ever going to go camping?
Yeah, yeah, really.
All right, so that was very heavy, so I apologize.
That was.
That's why I went first.
Yeah.
So we can have some not-so-heavy ghost stories and a nice little conspiracy.
Yeah. Mine is kind of heavy in just, like, the thing that I'm talking about. So, is yours heavy, Austin? Is it sad?
Mine's spooky.
Okay, so maybe I should go.
Ooh, let's do spooky for last.
Yeah.
Okay. And mine's kind of long, so.
That's perfect. Mine's not going to be very long, but.
Okay.
So, for the conspiracy part of this episode, I'm going to be talking about the wildfires that happened in California. That was, a year ago? And I debated on doing this just because it is such a sad situation and it's still pretty fresh And even to people that live on the East Coast, like, it's, that was really hard to watch. And so I don't want to get too into the details of this conspiracy theory, but it was something that I remember talking about when it was all happening, and it is still pretty relevant. So usually when I talk about a conspiracy theory, I partially believe it. This one I'm not so sure about, so I just want to give that warning out, that I'm not sure if I believe in this or not, but it is interesting. So the conspiracy theory about the fires is that it was done by directed energy weapons. So this is a thing that I actually don't know if it's real or not. I didn't look too far into that. It seems like it is real. But it's the idea that you can shoot lasers, basically, at things and start fires and blow things up. And that these wildfires were supposedly created by direct energy weapons. So there are different reasons why people think this. The three main reasons are how widespread the fires were, the way that they traveled, and what the destruction looks like. So we'll start with how fast and how they traveled. So the fires obviously traveled very quickly, and there is so much footage out there of hillsides that were just completely charred by these fires. And obviously we know that it's really dry out there, and the winds are really strong. So there is footage like that where the hillsides are burning. But then there are places like Paradise, California, where... maybe it wasn't California. I'm not sure if it's in California, but the a city called Paradise that got decimated by the fires. And if you look at an aerial view of their neighborhoods now, all the trees around them are completely fine. And there's no trail of fire. It's not really near anything. And the whole neighborhood is just, like, leveled. And so there's a lot of instances like this, pictures of neighborhoods where one house was completely leveled and everything else is fine. The trees around it aren't burnt. There's no, this article that I read on, this is not a very reputable website. It's called chemtrailplanet.com. But this is just like, I found some pictures on here. He talks a lot about, I don't know the nature of forest fires really, but how there's no burn trails from place to place. Like if there's two buildings that caught on fire, there's not a connection on the ground where it was burning, which I don't really believe that's how they travel, but that was some of the evidence that he was putting up. So the quickness that they traveled and how far, they started very quickly in multiple places. Like I remember there being like 100 different fires burning at once, and
I do remember that. There was a bunch.
Yeah, and they were like seemingly like unrelated. Like they were far enough away that like how would that start in both of those places at once? And they did find a guy guilty in court for starting the fires. I don't remember his name. I know his first name is Forrest, which is ironic, but they claimed that it all started from that. So if it started from one, how did it jump from state to state? So the claim is that someone was either showing off the use of their energy weapons, or this was planned, and just shot it in multiple areas.
You know what that just made me think of?
What?
In Cabin in the Woods, where they're all sitting in that office, and they're, like, placing bets on things, and they're like, let's place a bet on this. And, like, that's what it makes me think of, like, a bunch of scientists are sitting in an office like, look at my laser gun, I bet it can shoot further than yours.
Yeah, and that's where like that's where this article got ridiculous. Like it starts,
oh shit.
Yeah, they're like, they're just bragging about their use of energy weapons. Like it was probably an accident or something was happening. And then there's also some video evidence of there's a guy that was filming the fires as he was driving along. The video doesn't have any sound, so it's hard to really tell what he's talking about. But it's on YouTube. I'll put a link. Or I'll send Austin a link to put on our Instagram. But he's kind of just driving by filming the fire. And then all of a sudden, you can tell he, like, something happens and he, like, freaks out. And in the like, movement of his camera, you can see, like, a big green streak coming out of the sky. And it's kind of blurry.
That's spooky.
Yeah, and, like, he reacted in a way that, like, something just blew up. Like, that's how he reacted in the video. And so there's evidence like that. There's places where, like I said, there's none of the trees around are burned, but the house is. And a lot of authorities were like, well, if there's moisture, then the trees won't burn. But they're like, well, the dryness of the forest is what made it spread. So, like, you've got to pick one, or there are just certain trees that are more moist than others. But
pick a lane, friends.
Like, and then there's pictures of trees burning from the inside out, which, like, what the fuck is that? Like, there's, like, a hole in the tree and you can see fire inside of it. I remember seeing that back when it was happening.
Yeah,
I do remember that too.
Mm-hmm. And there's, like, this picture of cars on fire, and there's only, like, out of the 20 cars that are on the street, only 3 of them are on fire. It's like, just,
oh, that's weird.
Yeah, like, there's not a clear place that this fire came from in a lot of these places. Yeah, the picture of Paradise is crazy, because there's just this little, almost like cul-de-sac, that's completely leveled, and the trees around it are completely fine.
It's crazy.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, and it also talked about normal house fires. And, of course, you know, these are fought by firefighters as well. But usually when there's a house on fire, it doesn't decimate the entire house, like, to the ground. It kind of leaves some bones. And, you know, obviously this isn't a great comparison because everything around it isn't burning. But all of the destruction, like, any house that was on fire is just gone. Like, it is just a plot. It's crazy to look at. Like, whole neighborhoods are just leveled. And so that's another reason that people think that it was something else, to just places that are completely devastated. And then this is an interesting part of the article. So again, I'm not saying I believe this, but this is what this guy wrote, the same chemtrailplanet.com. So take it with a grain of salt.
I love this guy.
But it says
Chemtrail Planet, man.
It says, here's a paper that was written in March 2010 from the Defense Technical Information Center entitled Final Environmental Assessment for Proposed Airspace Change for Paradise East and Paradise West Military Operation Areas. Here's an excerpt. Based on the analysis of the draft environmental assessment, the U.S. Air Force is proposing Alternate B as the proposed action. The PA is to reconfigure /expand the lateral and vertical boundaries of Paradise East and Paradise West. The floor of the MOAs would be lowered from 1450 feet above sea level to 10,000 feet, which is, like, giving them more airspace. So it's just weird to hear them talk about this town that was decimated in, like, their plans to put an airspace there. Like, it's just a weird coincidence, but I'm sure that I don't have any other evidence to back that up, so please take that with a grain of salt. So yeah, this was obviously a very tragic event, and people died. I think I read 24 people died. I'm not sure what area that's in or if that's the entire fires, but obviously so many people's houses were lost. It was a very tragic event, and it was just so interesting to see this theory unravel in real time, because I remember people talking about it. I remember even, like, Shane Dawson had a video where he went to a neighborhood that had fires happening, and he was like, why is this house burned to the ground and that one's fine? And
I, like, remember watching that video.
Yeah, I think I watched that video too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was usually the things that we talk about are the conspiracy theories are from years ago, or there's, you know, things that came out later. And it's just crazy that all of this can happen almost in plain sight. And if this is true, I mean, it really did happen in plain sight, and there's just, like, nothing you could do about it. And I think the reason that I don't completely discount this theory stems back to the base of flat earth and things like that, which is to question information that's coming from one source. So obviously everything we know about these wildfires came from the government and the news. And, you know, if they're the only ones that have information, then, you know, we have the right to question what we think we know. So just a little background information. Make you question some things. If you have any interesting stories, I know there are a lot of eyewitnesses and things that, like, it just moved so quick that it was just baffling. And people had to evacuate in, like, a minute, and their whole neighborhood was on fire. So
right, that's insane.
Oh, and the other thing, the one last thing I read was that people reported the wind right before being extremely strong, like a huge gust of wind. And apparently that's what happens when you use these weapons, or when you use weapons like this, is it creates a gust of wind before. So that was another like little piece that people were putting together. So yeah, just interesting story about a sad happening. So mine's kind of a downer too, but hopefully yours will be more interesting.
But it's crazy, and I know this
we're just fully depressing.
This is gonna sound so millennial, but I remember watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians when they were talking about evacuating.
Yeah, I know. I remember. This is gonna sound bad too, but I was watching Jeffree Star's Instagram story.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah, I remember that too.
Yeah.
It was so scary.
That was crazy.
Yeah, and how apparently Kim and Kanye hired their own personal firefighting team to protect their house.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? When you rich, you just get to do shit like that, I guess.
When you got that money, you got that drip.
And, like, their house holds so many things. Like, I can't imagine if Jeffree Star's house burnt down. Like, he has so many investment pieces in there. Like, millions of dollars of, like, purses and stuff that...
Expensive, like, that's like things, yeah
like investing in stock, like that's, it's like your stock burning down,
right?
Crazy.
Yikes. Yeah, it's just like all the rich people getting the coronavirus tests before the us plebs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't get me
that's
started.
Another conspiracy.
Yeah. Yep.
So all right.
The coronavirus.
And you know, I thought about that Vine. Or I guess it wasn't a Vine. God. Is it a TikTok? I don't even know.
We can just keep pretending it's TikTok.
But I was like, man, Cardi B really is in the Illuminati. She knew it was that coming. Coronavirus. It's coming. Coronavirus.
Oh, God. It's too much.
I was editing the Arkansas episode, and we were like, talking about it, like, yeah, I might be working from home soon. Like, little did we know.
Here we are
2 weeks ago.
Everything is closed down now. All right, are you guys ready for this?
Yes, I'm ready to be spooked.
Yes, right. I'm okay. Ready.
It's kind of long, so buckle in. But this story is a story written by Brent Swanser. And it was on mysteriousuniverse.org. So,
yeah, like
we're ready. I know, I'm excited. I'm excited to read this to you guys because I got chills when I read it earlier.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put my phone down.
Here we go.
Full undivided attention.
All right, because this is like an actual story. It's not just like me telling like the history and everything behind it. This is like this, like someone wrote this to tell the story.
Oh, shit.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. It sometimes seems that there is no shortage of legends and haunted places in this strange world of ours. Wherever one goes, one is bound to come across those places that are steeped in tales of the weird and imbued with some ghostly energy. But it's because of their creepy ambiance, their grim histories, or a reputation for death, these places are ground zero for all manner of strange tales. And one such location lies in the East Bay area of California near the city of San Francisco. Here is a dark, mysterious labyrinth of tunnels and a spooky cemetery that have long been said to be the haunt of spectral entities and are among the most haunted places in the state. Sprawled out over around 6,000 acres north of Mount Diablo in Contra Costa County, California, is a place called the Black Diamond Mines Regional Preserve, which encompasses the remains of one thriving mine town from back in the days of the coal boom. The area underwent from between the years 1850 and 1906, including the remnants of the towns Nortonville, Summersville, Stewartsville, West Hartley, and Judsonville. It was during this era that what was known as the Mount Diablo coal field, the largest in California, saw a surge of settlers arriving to the area. Mining towns began to crop up all over the region, and there was a boom of financial success to be had from pulling the black diamond from the earth. In its heyday, there was a sprawling network of more than 200 miles of tunnels fanning out under the earth here, from which shipments of coal were sent out all over the state, and the total of around 300 million tons of coal would eventually be pulled up from these mines over the years. So this was a big deal back then, guys.
Yeah, wow, that sounds like it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there was also a dark underbelly that all of these, it might not be entirely surprising, but in the rush to mine out as much of the precious coal as possible, safety regulations sort of took a backseat to profits. That is, they didn't really exist. So, not safe. Cave-ins, black lung disease, carbon dioxide poisoning, harsh working conditions, all of these took their toll on miners' lives, and many of their bodies remained down there in those dark depths forevermore. This would go on until the mines eventually shut down in the face of the increase in imported coal and other energy sources such as petroleum, and the mines were shuttered. The region became a graveyard of ghost towns and mostly was used for cattle grazing until sand and silica mines became popular and breathed some new life into the dying area. However, this would only last until around the 1940s, until the mines were also closed for good and the area became dried up corpse of another more prosperous time. In later years, it would turn out that in addition to the deaths of all the miners, there was also a steady death toll in those residents who had died in plagues of smallpox, scarlet fever, and typhoid fever during the era, including many women and children. Many of these victims of disease, and indeed the corpses of miners themselves, ended up at the historic Rose Hill Cemetery, located in a lonely hillside between Summersville and Nortonville town sites, east of Concord and south of Antioch, California. With the disintegration of the mining industry and a mass exodus of people from the area at the end of the boom years, the cemetery fell into disrepair and became a wild, feral place full of weeds, underbrush, and damaged, vandalized graves, while others originally
That's
holding...
so sad.
I know. And it just basically fell apart. Basically, there was no way of telling where the cemetery was at one point. People were interred here, or who they are. So they basically just didn't know, like, who was who anymore. Yeah,
that's
and then
terrible.
Eventually it all got even worse because official records were destroyed in a fire in the aftermath of the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. So it's pretty bad, yeah. With such a dark history, yeah, with such a dark, yeah, real bad. Real bad.
That's just they're just asking for a haunting at this point, really.
Yeah.
And I haven't even gotten to like the story yet. Yeah. With such a dark history of the mining accidents, disease, and death, as well as the defiled and forgotten graves, it should not come to surprise that the Black Diamond Mines and Rose Hill Cemetery have long been considered to be most intensely haunted. One of the most famous tales of the haunted revolves around a woman by the name of Sarah Norton. Sarah Norton was a skilled midwife and was also married to the government agent, museum founder, California Gold Rush prospector, and founder of Nortonville, Noah Norton. On October 5th, 1879, Sarah was riding in a horse-drawn buggy on her way to a midwife call when the horse pulling her got spooked and bolted, which tossed her from the carriage, killing her on impact. Although Sarah was... Although Sarah was not a religious woman and had specifically expressed her will never to have been given a funeral, one was arranged for her and given to her anyways. And that's when things got weird.
Yeah, that's not good.
You're fucking with an angry spirit now, boys.
Are you ready for the next part? Because here we go.
Okay.
Oh no, I'm scared.
According to most accounts, Sarah's death was and death and coming funeral would be plagued with a strange phenomenon. It started when her body was being moved to the nearby church, when there was allegedly an incredibly fierce storm that came up out of nowhere, disrupting the procession and indeed causing the planned funeral to be called off.
Whoa.
This odd storm, this odd storm could pass or would pass and the funeral arrangements carried out again. But on the day that this was supposed to transpire, there was reportedly another violent storm that surged up out of nowhere to dash their plans and send people scattering home.
Wow. Ooh, yeah. That is crazy.
Spooky.
Yeah. When this happened yet again the very next day, it was decided just to have Sarah unceremoniously buried in Rose Hill. And this was done without incident. So yeah, after the fact,
yeah, she's like, "This is what I wanted the whole time, you motherfucker."
Exactly, exactly. Ever since her burial, the ghostly apparition of Sarah Norton has been said to be very active at the cemetery, where she typically appears dressed in flowing white and hovers over the ground, surrounded by an eerie glow, earning her nickname, the White Witch. The glowing woman.
I just got the chills.
And the gliding woman.
Ooh,
and she's known.
So scary. Her full body just like floating across the.
That's freaky. Yeah.
And then I guess she's known to conjure up ferocious winds when she appears.
That is crazy.
Yes. But I'm not done yet.
Oh, no. But wait, there's more.
Oh, yes, there is.
But wait.
In the area, there's known to be another white witch.
How do they know there's two?
Ooh.
Another white witch.
Two
so,
white witches?
This white witch was known in life as only as Mary. She was only known as Mary. In the 1870s, Mary was apparently a nanny responsible for a number of children, yet many of her charges had the habit of falling ill and dying. Whether Mary... Oh. Whether Mary had any hand in it or not, it doesn't matter, as the town certainly thought she did. Mary was labeled as a witch and was subsequently hanged and her home burned to the ground.
That is so messed up.
She's like, I can't help it. They're getting typhoid fever. It's not my fault.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. In a time where, like, everybody was getting sick. She didn't, it very well could not have been her fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mary's spirit also apparently appears as a woman in white and is said to guard the minds and usher about the souls of the children who died in her care. The spirit seems to be a bit aggressive in that she almost seems to willfully try to frighten people away and to discourage anyone from entering the mines. There are various other instances of ghostly phenomenon reported from both the Rose Hill Cemetery and the actual nearby mines as well. The mines, although access in recent times is limited, are known to spew forth anomalous groans, voices, and even screaming, and shadow-like figures are said to roam about. The sound of digging and shovels scraping against the earth are also common, despite the fact that the mines have been out of operation for decades.
Those mines have been closed for 40 years.
There is also so a spectral horse-drawn carriage said to careen about the area of Rose Hill Cemetery, floating glowing crosses, and a myriad of strange occurrences, such as the apparitions of ghostly children and sounds of laughter, disembodied voices, and other strange noises. The mines and the area around them have been a wellspring of such scary tales for years, and it shows that there is no signs of stopping. The Black Diamond Mines of California are yet another one of those locations in the world steeped in a dark and turbulent past, which happen to have various stories of ghostly phenomenon. It is enough to make one wonder just whether this past and the death inexplicably linked to it has anything to do with it at all. And if the spirits that are tethered to the locations by some force we cannot comprehend, or if this is all just a spooky folklore swirling around the undeniably creepy local area. Whatever the case may be, the mines are still open to some degree, and ghost walks through the area are common. So if you ever are in the area of East Bay, California, feel free to brave maybe a walk on your own, a walk in a tour. Maybe as you peer into the darkness of the mines, you'll see the White Witch peering right back. And that's the story of Rose Hill Cemetery and the Black Diamond Mines.
That is crazy.
You know what's going to be so funny is that I'm actually going to be in that area in February.
Really?
Are you really?
You should go.
Go check it out.
That would be maybe crazy. I will. When you said there's another White Witch, I was like, I love white witches. It's my fucking problem.
That is spooky, Austin.
So, like I said, guys, I'm trying to give credit where credit is due. This is an article that was written by Brent Swanser. I couldn't change it. I know that I didn't read it to the best of my ability, but like, I just thought it was so good. If you want to check it out, Brent Swanser, mysteriousuniverse.org. It's a good article, and it definitely gave me chills when I read it at 1:30 in the morning when I couldn't sleep.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
And I was walking through my house the other day at about like 2:30 in the morning and to get some water because I just woke up absolutely parched, and I was just thinking to myself, I was like, how creepy would it be if I just saw a ghost right now?
Yeah.
And then for the rest of the time I was just like
you know, I think so, that all the time, guys.
You know what's so weird is last night at 2:30 I was also awake because I was editing, and I was sitting at my vanity and the door to my craft room was open and it was dark in there, and I heard my charger like fall off the table. Like it was like plugged in, but like the charging part was up on the table, and it just like slid off onto the ground, and I was like, what the fuck? And then I realized that I left my front door open all night, and I was like, or all like I was home like awake, but it had been like unlocked all evening
still.
And so wow. I'm not like open, but like, yeah, unlocked. Okay. And so I grabbed a knife and I like went into every corner of my house like sticking the knife in first. But it was at the same time probably that I was like, what would I do if there was someone in this closet? Like, what the fuck would I do?
Like, right, like what would you actually do?
Yeah, I was like, I don't know what I would do. We probably were having the That's same hilarious. Feelings at the same time.
Yeah.
Probably.
2:30 is a scary time. I don't care where you're in the club.
Any time at scared. Night where I'm out. And honestly, if you're at the club at 2:30 in the morning, you should be scared.
Yeah. That's so funny. Like, I never thought about that. Because, like, it's so creepy when it's, like, 3 a.m. anywhere. Except if you're, like, out.
Listen, I got to be like, completely honest with you. Those times back in the day where we were young and able to go out, I was always thinking about, it's 3 a.m., it's the witching hour, I should not be awake right now.
Really?
Yeah, I would always be like, I shouldn't be awake right now, this isn't my time, I should be asleep, this is the time for all of the spirits out there to do whatever they need to do, and I should not be a part of it, all the time.
I would always just be like,
Can I just get some chicken fingers and ranch?
Please? I literally, me at Waffle House, I'd be, like, eating my waffles, and I'd be like, oop, it's time for me to be asleep. I should not be partaking in this.
I definitely felt that once I got home, but while I was out doing something, I never thought that.
You know me.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going through some things, so I was just hammered.
Well, what's crazy is like the places like in Chicago, the clubs were open till 5 in the morning. And so it's basically daytime once you're out. And like you just spent the whole like weird hours of the night just like in a club. The ghosts are just hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That literally sounds like my nightmare now.
Yeah, me too. I'd have to like sleep until 8 p.m. if I want to be out till 5
a.m. I know.
But at the time,
I'm washed up.
Very fun.
I'm old. We're old. We're like the crypt keepers.
I know.
I'm like the crypt keeper.
Classic. Speaking of crypt keeper,
Tipsy Ghouls. Yeah. I was like, how can we turn that into a merch shirt? I'm like,
speaking of Crypt Keeper, I use Tulas.
Yeah.
Tulas.
Speaking of Crypt Keeper, are you ever concerned with how you're going to bury your...
Are you ever concerned with how you want to be buried and if someone tries to bury you somewhere else, that you're just going to haunt the shit out of everyone and everything?
Oh, my God.
Download the
so
app.
Did Sarah.
Yeah. Download the app Bury Me. Where you can have a living will right on your phone.
Oh, my God.
I was thinking about it the other day because I don't have a will or anything, obviously. We're too young to have wills. But I was like, if I did die, what would I want to be done? And
dude, I want to be shot into space.
That would be really cool.
I want to be turned into a tree.
Oh, that'd be cute too.
Oh my God, can we all three just get turned into a tree so we can all just be
and then
a spooky tree bunch living cute. Together?
And then when there's a bunch of college students reenacting our lives, they can just stand under our trees.
But I was like, I think I want to be cremated. Well, I know I want to be cremated, but I think I want, like, anyone who wants them to be able to take a little bit of my ashes and, like, sprinkle them in a place that, like, means a lot to them. Mm-hmm. But it's cute, too. Not cute, but, like...
It's cute.
It was a good idea what you were saying earlier where they sprinkled... Like, they took ashes to, like, life events, like someone's wedding and sprinkled their ashes.
Yeah, I thought that was really sweet. Like, oh my God, you guys, you need to really watch that, A Blue Crow.
Yeah.
It is just... watch that. It made me so upset. But thank you all for listening.
Yes.
We really appreciate it. We hope you are enjoying so far.
This is our, fifth episode now?
Yeah. Yeah. Five.
Oh my God, look at us go.
We're going to get so much done in this quarantine.
Honestly. And if you are bored like we are during this quarantine, you can check us out on any streaming sites, podcast sites, Spotify, or...
The big ones. Apple Podcasts.
I think we're on Google Podcasts too.
Yeah. We are. Tipsy Ghouls Podcast. You can also check us out on Instagram at Tipsy Ghouls Podcast.
Yes.
We're out here. We be out here posting new content as much as we can, as much as I remember. So come check us out.
Some quarantine content.
Yes. Quarantine content.
And if you listen to all of our episodes, we have, me and Lauren have a podcast also called Tipsy Girls that Austin is on occasionally. We need to record for that sometime soon, too. But if you just feel like you're friends with us and you want to keep listening, you can hop over there.
I think I'll be my friend, especially right now.
What'd you say?
I said, I'll be my friend, especially right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can also email us. It is tipsyghoulspodcast@gmail.com. If you have a spooky story or anything that you want to share about your state, or where if you have a conspiracy theory or a spooky story or some true crime case that you're obsessed with out of any of the states that we're about to talk about, please email us and let us know, and we will feature you on the podcast.
Yeah, you can be an actual co-host. So if it's your dream to be on a podcast, now's the time to fulfill that dream.
Yes.
But we will see you next Tuesday with our Southern California episode.
Yes.
Southern California.
SoCal.
Yes, SoCal, baby. SoCal.
And then after that is Hollywood, which is going to be
interesting. I'm so excited for that one. I'm so excited
for the Hollywood episode. It's going to be awesome.
I'm so excited.
So many things to choose from.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That one's going to be a good one. I think that's why we're saving it last, though, because it's going to be so good.
Yes.
Are you guys ready to close this session?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Call the cops after you accidentally murder your best friend while camping.
Remember, only you can prevent forest fires.
And if you peer into the Black Diamond Mines, the White Witch might peer back.
Goodbye.
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 Do you want to do one for Northern California so I can put it in?
No.
Okay.
Shit. All right. There we go.
No.
It's
a lot of work.
This one's amazing. I'm giving up drinking for a month. Sorry, bad punctuation. I'm giving up drinking for a month. I haven't been very close to anyone lately, so that's fun.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't I haven't touched anybody. No one's touched me.
Me explaining my...
You can still get it from droplets in the air.
Yeah. That sounds like me explaining my dating life. I haven't touched anyone. No one's touched me. I've been very lonely.
Coronavirus.
Coronavirus.
Hello, hi, whatever. This is Tipsy Goals.